January 6, 2021. It's a Watch for Pedro show.
Thank you. thoughts running through my head. Racing, turning, churning through my head. Thoughts pulsing all the time. My body's aching. I'm so tired. But I can't switch off.
For Pedro Show, happy Wednesday. First Wednesday of the year, maybe? Yes, I am correct. And there is a gunfight at the Dumb Shit Gulch right now. Yeah, it's kind of a lame book, so fuck it. We start with John Coltrane. Take six of One Up, One Down. And then, Brother Matt, because we're in quarantine mode still, so what? Brother Matt at the Love Grotto on the Love Point a couple miles south. But I'm not totally man alone, people, because of those engineers from Estonia with their incredible Skype software. I got Mr. Tim Hullhouse with me.
Hello. Hi.
Hey, Brother Tim, thanks for coming aboard. And you're in the Bromley part of London?
Yeah, Bromley. It's like a sort of suburb of London. It's where David Bowie grew up.
So we should say like metro area or something.
Yeah, it's like the suburb. It's like, right. I think there's six zones in London, and we're zone 4/5.
Well, the way I know it, it's either north of the river or south of the river.
Oh, we're very south, southeast.
Yeah. Now, in fact, that's probably the only parts affordable, right? Anyway, I think Pete Frampton is from there, too, because David Bowie hired him later on, the Humble Pie guy.
They went secondary school together, which is their little school was sort of down the road from me. But, their secondary school, I think Frampton's dad was one of the teachers as well.
Wow.
Even.
I think he lives in Nashville these days. He married a
young man. Yeah, I imagine he does, yeah.
And, I mean, when I graduated high school in 1976, that record, it was after Humble Pie. It was like Steve Marriott kind of took over the band, right?
Yeah.
It's trippy about that kind of stuff. You know, it kind of paralleled with Joe Walsh and the James Gang, except James Gang wasn't Joe Walsh's band. But sometimes it's trippy about that stuff.
Sometimes people just come in and like just take over. I in fact I've done it myself as a being in a band. I was like the third singer in this band called Among the Missing, and I totally sort of did the Mike Patton thing of like come in and just basically take over.
Oh,
like,
from Chuck, yeah, with the Faith No More, yeah.
I did that. I like the drummer wasn't up to scratch; he was gone. I got the drummer in I wanted. it was pretty ruthless, but I was like, well, you know, if you want me in this band, because they'd taken me from a. Like a hardcore band. Actually, funny, you mentioned earlier San Diego. Actually, I was in a screamo band before, and this sludge metal band sort of stole me.
I like all the different kinds of categories.
Yeah.
Screamo, sludge, yeah, like, hardcore, what was the other one, metal?
Yeah, sort of sludge metal, I guess, and screamo hardcore.
It's kind of rock and roll though. Tim, let's go back with your musical journey. What's your early in Bromley there? Huh? When you were a little boy, what's your first or your earliest musical recollection?
I was actually grew up in a place called Portsmouth.
Portsmouth is where I was born.
Portsmouth, New Hampshire.
No, Virginia.
I suppose there's.
But I've been to that one. I think I played there with Jay Maskus in the Fog. They had a place called Wormwood Rooms or some.
The Wedgwood Rooms, yes.
I got to tell you, I saw a picture. This is where I learned this word, ponce. I saw a picture of these guys with pouty lips and frilly shirts. And I asked the boss there, hey, what? And somebody wrote ponce across the picture. I said, what's a ponce? And he goes, look at that picture again.
Yeah, that sounds about right for Portsmouth, to be honest. Yeah, that sounds about right.
I think they got a replica of Mr. Drake's Gold Hind there.
Yeah. We've got the ships as well. We've got the Victory, the Mary Rose, and...
But the Gold Hind went around the world, and he actually made it, you know, where Mr. Magellan got killed in the Philippines. He actually made the whole voyage. He almost found the city, but... They missed it, right? He kept going up to Oregon and shit. But anyway, in Portsmouth, what earliest musical recollection?
Earliest musical recollection probably is The Cure on Top of the Pops, which is like a pop show, and seeing Robert Smith. It's either that or possibly my mum playing the Kinks. It's around about the same time when I was about four. My mum was a big fan of the Kinks, and she played Lazy Sunny Afternoon.
Now, this pad you grew up in Portsmouth, was there musical instruments?
My granddad was a big music fan. He wasn't a musician, but he was a big music fan. And I know that my first Christmas, apparently, my mum hated him because he bought me a little drum and I hit it the whole time.
Not a kit, just a drum.
Yeah, it's like a little snare drum and I just hit it with one stick.
No, I say that, Tim, because if you remember the first Teenage Jesus and the Jerks record, it said Bradley Delper, the drummer man, it just said drum.
Drum.
And that's all he played was a snare drum like you. Okay, so she was a little annoyed by this. Okay. But they were listeners.
The drum away, and I'd cry, apparently, and then like it was like she had to work out what was worse, the drumming or the crying.
Right. But she was a listener. She had a record collection, right? The Kinks?
Yeah, mum liked the Kinks and the Beatles, like the classic stuff. And then her dad sort of would play me. Her dad was like a massive fan of Johnny Cash, sort of Bill Haley and the Comets and that early rock and roll stuff. So I got a little bit of that. My father wasn't really into music per se. He was an academic, so he didn't really understand it all. But my mum had been my mum saw the Beatles, like the Rolling Stones. And in fact, before my dad was in fact engaged to the guitar player from Manfred Mann. Do you know that band?
Yeah, I'm a man. No, that's Spencer Davis. It was. Yeah. I'm trying to think of Stevie Winwood. He was with the Spencer Davis. You know, we lost him. He was living on Catalina, the island off of here. Yes, Spencer Davis Group, right? And his name was Spencer Davis.
Yeah.
Stevie Wonder, I think he was a teenager then. Great organ. Great organ player, too. Great singer. Okay, what about at school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
I was in Recorder Club, which is recorders like recorders.
It's not the machine. Let me tell the listeners, people, this ain't the machine that you record stuff with. This is like a plastic version of a diatonic flute.
Yeah. So I had one of those mainly because we had like I must have been about 10 or something, but like I think my brain was starting to sort of work out attraction to the opposite sex, shall we say, and we had this very young student teacher who just graduated from university and become her first teaching job, and she was really beautiful, and she ran the Recorder Club, so I was like, right, I'm doing this.
Okay.
And then I guess after that I kind of took up flute. I played the flute until I was about 12.
Yeah, I shouldn't have said flute, because flute you actually got to blow the wind across a hole, and the recorder's got like a built-in fucking, you know, you just got to blow into it.
I did that as one as well. Yeah, you know, like yeah, I kind of did all those, and then I'm dyslexic, so I couldn't read the music, so I didn't sort of pass anything since about 12, because I still can't read music score anyway. So I just sort of like basically listened by ear and played along by ear.
Okay.
That got me through to a certain point, and then there was like, and then I couldn't do it anymore. And it wasn't really until I was about, I think, 14, 15, I took up the bass guitar. And
Why the bass?
Why the bass? It looked cool, and every band I'd ever seen, I was into, like, all the bands I was into, the bass player was always the cool one.
And so what kind of bass did you get, Tim?
I got an Encore. I spent the whole summer painting fences and mowing lawns, and bought so about £55, and it was back then it felt like a lot of money, £55, and I bought this Encore bass. It was heavy as hell. It was made to look like a Fender bass, like a, I think a sort of not a Jazzmaster, like just a Fender
P-bass.
To the E bass sort
precision.
Of thing. Yeah, P bass sort of thing. But it was just heavy, horrible, and cheap. But it did for my first.
What about an amp? What about an amp?
My mum, bless her, when I went to buy the bass, she said, "Well, you're going to need an amp," and bought me this little 5-watt practice amp, which was. Made it sound kind of like a bee in a biscuit tin, but, you know.
Look, I want to play Trapped.
Trapped, as I look up, and I see that the roof is on fire, and I wonder to myself when I'll end up in a funeral pyre. And look down, and what was once the floor is now a hole, and I'm consumed. Nothing of me remains. I'm trapped. Nothing of me remains. I'm trapped.
Violence. To the highway, long leg, long gone, baby, wave bye bye. Shut the door. I just got something I want to tell you. You see, the up for days in these no-dose eyes. Baby, I've been riding on rockets, and I've been whispering secrets. I packed a pack of lies, empty alibis.
lullaby. I got a pint of the bumpy and a pack of what I am. A pint of the bumpy, you know, the bumpy Seagram's gin in the bumpy bottle. And a pack of what I am, well, that would be cool. Burning out by you. I'm burning out by you. I'm on the fade. I'm on the fade. Yeah. It's a dead man's run. And at the end, there's a coffin. And then you're done. If there's a good time summer, I'll be having one. I'm going to having one. I'm going to rest it. I'm going to rest it. Red stick, red stick, red stick. I'm going to rest it. Yeah. I'm going to put you in a sack. Throw you over my back. Down that track. Calligity clack. I'm going to rest it. I'm going to rest it. Rest it. I'm going to put you in a sack, throw you over my back, down that track, clickety clack, clickety clack, clickety clack, I think I'm going to rest it. I'm going to rest it. I'm going to rest it.
self-control.
Pedro Show, that was Tim Hohouse with the track, starting that chunk of music. Weird Feelings after that from Dublin with Masses. That's got Bushy on drums. I met Andrew Bush drumming for Estelle, I think 17 years ago now, at Whelan's. And he's just a great cat. He's got his own little show playing music too.
He just played me actually the other day on his radio show. He just played a song off my latest album, Lost, as well.
Well, fuck, Tim, I think that's the connect. Or is it Tim Pierce? Ian Pierce.
Ian Pierce
did a proj with Bushy called Organs. And they had me do Organs 3.5. One of it was play bass with along with him, and the other one was read a poem.
Yeah, so I know Bush. I've played with Estelle several times. I was actually just chatting to him the other day about his new band Yurt as well. Bushy and Ian's been in like hardcore. I've sung live for Comply or Die in Pierce's hardcore band, and I've known him for years as well. Those are sort of my crew over in Ireland when I go over there.
That's great.
Yeah.
You know, Yurt, he's had that a few years now. The graphics and bass guy does all the work mainly. And I played all kinds of music on the show and love it. I should tell the people, we also had Hans Rotten out of Switzerland with fingertip vocals, the demo. And then Red Stick from the Numbers band out of Akron. Very influential band. And I think the sax player was the Pretender singer brother. Guided by Voices, Crash at Lake Placebo. Bob Pollard with another album. You go, Bob. Bomas Prendon, Phantom Limb, the last from the Missing Look Again record that just came out after 40 years. Snake in the Grass, Dustin Wong. He was on a couple episodes ago. Archetype Anonymous. Interesting guy. Well, I've been lucky to have all kinds of interesting people on. Thank you, Tim, for being on. Yeah, I'm going to stick out of fucking Austin with Face to Hand to Land. Nothing wrong with Austin. I love it. I probably would live there if I was having to live in Texas. Finally, Tim Hohouse, Control. In fact, I would live in almost any town. You know, Sly Stone said, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at, right?
Yeah. I've actually never been to Austin, Texas. I had a show booked there once, and I had to abandon a U.S. tour due to some family issues. And it's the one city I really want to play in, and I've never got there. So
it's several things. For Texas, it's the capital, and it's the big colleges there. Although they're all over the state, too, but that's the big one, the Longhorns. And then, but it's got the big music scene, too.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's music all over Texas. It's really, you know, the whole ZZ and Lightnin' Hopkins thing is actually from Houston. But he got his rhythm section, you know, Dusty and Frank from Dallas. So, you know, again, you know, it's not where you're from, it's where you're at.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you don't pick that other shit, right? You might have something to do with picking where you're going. So, okay. You got a bass. You got a little amp. It's I forgot to ask you. First record you bought with your own money, Tim?
This is a great story. I was a Cub Scout. I was about 10 years old, and the older scouts were on looking. We went away for a camp for a week, and the older scouts were looking after us. And one of them was called Ken. And he was like the older brother of a friend of mine. And he was like the coolest guy in our little sort of area that we lived in. And he was like a metal guy. And so he had like the leather jacket, the shades, the, you know, the bandana, the whole works sort of thing.
Uniform.
So, yeah. So this is the 80s and all the high tops and everything. So, and I just wanted to be like him. And I just followed him around the whole time like a little puppy. And I was just like, wow, he's so cool. And he was talking to me about metal and he was playing me stuff. And my parents had given me money for sweets for the camp. And I saved all the sweet money. I did buy one sweet and I saved it to buy a record. And he took me to a record shop and he said, you know, here's the heavy metal section. Go and buy a record. And I bought AC/DC Back in Black because the cover was all black. And he'd mentioned AC/DC. Okay, so they were in A, and it was a little bit like, which one do I buy? This one's the first one. But I got home and I put it on, and I just remember my dad's, because we only had like a stereo with a turntable in the lounge, and I put it on. I sort of ran in and put it on. I'd held it all the way home, and I put it on, and my dad was just like, oh, I think he at that point, he already knew that he's going to be a musician.
That was the comeback record. That's it with Brian, right? That's with Brian. And I think Brian's back in the band.
Is he back now? Yeah, because they replaced him with Axl Rose, didn't they?
Well, I think for some gigs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what about the first gig you went to?
First gig I went to was... I can't quite remember which one was first.
It's a Watt from Pedro show. There's no hard questions and there's no wrong answers.
Yeah, I mean, it's a toss-up between I saw... the first one I paid money to go and see was a band called The Shaman, who were like, I've no idea if they ever made it to America. They were like a sort of rave guitar band crossover sort of thing. It was sort of like a guitar band that basically got into electronics, early electronics in the 90s.
Well, and those are better descriptive words than screamo. you're into this category stuff with music. You know, remember Tim Yohannan, Maximum Rock and Roll? They would have all those different crust.
Yeah,
one that got me was Power Violence.
Power Violence, yeah, that was that. Oh, that.
It's hard for me to tell the difference and stuff.
I think but, like, because I mean, I got quite early, like maybe late teens, early 20s, got into Maximum, reading Maximum Rock and Roll, and that's kind of a lot of where my education.
Yeah, of course, of course. And he was a great guy. Tim was a great guy. Yeah. I really miss a cancer guy. So what did you get in a band, like, you know, after school? With classmates, you know, the bedroom band, the basement band, the garage band. Did you do that shit?
Yeah, of course. In fact, the first one even had my younger sister on drums. And wow. then we replaced it with a drum machine because the drum machine didn't throw a tantrum after about 20 minutes or something.
And you're using the bass with this 5-watt amp.
Yeah, my friend had a guitar that he'd been gifted by his uncle with a really massive amplifier, so he had, like, way more power than me.
And where'd you practice? Where'd you practice, Tim?
We practiced in his house mostly because his amp was so heavy that he couldn't carry it, and mine wasn't.
Now, was this band...
Sometimes we practiced at my mum and dad's utility room, sort of thing, like a spare room, like by the garage.
Okay. So did this band ever do gigs, or was it just a practice band?
We did play my sister's birthday. That was it.
Okay. Now, did you play your own songs, or did you copy off records like me and Dean Boone?
I wanted to be in Swans, so we basically played one riff for about 15 minutes as loud as we could.
I got news, you know, I think the fucking Sister Ray was a little ahead of that.
we wanted to be Swans. I wanted to be Swans.
No, good band.
And it was like, and I just, but like that early stuff was kind of sounded like we could sort of do that. So we just like yell obscenities over.
Well, you know, humbling. Michael's from up the hill here, from Pedro. It's called Palos Verdes. Yeah, not too far from me. Yeah, but he ended up going to New York City and stuff, and incredible cat. And you know, the band evolved in those days. It was more like slow motion box of chains falling down the stairs. Yeah, the bass man would wrap his hand up in a rag because he just beat the fuck out of this thing.
Yeah. I think that was the point when I discovered Swans when I was about 14. I was just like, I knew that I was never going to have like. And that and Beefheart, I think I was never going to be, like, into normal, sort of mainstream.
Ah, we don't like that word normal.
Yeah,
it's too scary.
It was like, look, when my friends were listening to, like, Stone Roses and Oasis, well, later Oasis, I guess.
Tim, I got to stop you right now because we're at the end of the first hour. January 6th, 2021, Dishwap Pedro Show. Special guest, Tim Wholehouse. Hold tight for hour two. January 6, 2021. It's the second hour of the Lot for Pedro Show.
Confusion's a part of life, I say. Flowing with rhythms of words, I say. I wish I could make myself be understood. We'll just get in the way. Confusion's a part of life, what I say. I get the words in the way. I can't help what I say. My mind and headspace. This is like a trigger synapses, or something triggered the wrong way. This repetitive effect leaves me in a head. But it's part of life, part of flow, yes. It's part of life, part of flow, yes. It's like a trigger that's clogged, like a repetitive thing. I can't seem to make head out of nonsense. Nonsense is what I say. But
Edmund Pettus,
don't you see? Well, how perfect then that peaceful marchers trying to cross that bridge were attacked so viciously. The police beat John Lewis with their riot sticks. In a fog of tear gas, he was brutalized. And just like Edmund Pettus and his old-time racist friends, the police showed their hatred clear and undisguised. Undisguised. Proud of their hatred. Now people, a bridge is something that we use to cross a river, to get ourselves from one side to another. And a bridge is often what we need to conquer the divisions between you and your sister and your brother. So why is that bridge down there in Selma, Alabama, still named for Edmund Pettus? That's just wrong. Time to give that bridge a new name. That would be John Lewis. That's what I wanna say here in this song.
Watch for Pedro show. We start off the second hour with Tourette's by Tim Holhouse. And I was telling Tim that the big revelation to me was, hey, Tourette's don't have to be cussing. Because I thought it was just cussing like crazy man. Well, a crazier man. When I found Jonathan Lethem's book, A Motherless Brooklyn, think that the protagonist, the detective guy, he has a Tourette's, and it's just tics. So, like, he has to, if he sees a phone, he's got to press certain numbers and, you know, somebody step on every crack and shit like that. That's what it is. It doesn't mean just cussing.
Yeah, I used to, in fact, that song's actually written about a guy I used to work with. He would do like a circle when before typing any letter on a keyboard. He would have to do a circle round, and he would like occasionally sort of twitch and tick and stuff. He was a really nice guy, and I guess at first you're kind of a little bit like, oh, you notice it, but after a while you do sort of find that you kind of just ignore it. It just like doesn't really even register. That's what this guy Alan did, and it was just like, you know, that was just him, and he was a nice guy, and he was very sweet.
Well, you know what, Tim, you're a nice guy too, and open minded, and you didn't, because usually, you know, by pecking order chickens, if you show a little weakness, you're out of the you're over the ropes and out of the ring. I got to tell people, we heard Sam Bennett after that with John Lewis Bridge. Respect for brother John Lewis. Waku Waku Kingdom with Blow It Up Live, Border Live from Foodie, Osaka, Biscuit Mouth, Horse Story, Ramon Moro Quartet, Wrong Stop, So It's Cool. No, Wrong Stop, It's So Cool. Come on, Watt, don't fuck it up. Just by reversing, see there, there's a little dyslexic, Tim. I fucked up the whole title of it. And then finally, Inside, Tim Holhouse. So did the birthday gig go good?
I think it was pretty terrible, to be honest.
Okay, well, I'm just wondering. Because you can only have your first gig once, right? So that's why I'm wondering.
Yeah, I think my first sort of, like, it was to my sister's friends. My first proper gig was probably the next band, which was like was my first one properly playing bass in a proper, it was a band. We had a drummer and a guitarist. And in fact, we even recorded, it was a Battle of the Bands. And that was a Christian Battle of the Bands, and we came second.
And we Christian, were like what? You had to be Christian to be in the band?
No, it was run by the local, like this kid who was a sort of very sort of Christian guy, and he'd hired out a hall, and he basically asked anybody he knew that was in a band locally to sort of come and play. It being me and we were called the Annabelle Club after the guitarist singer, his love was, he was in love with this girl called Annabelle. She didn't give a shit about him, but
it wasn't the singer of Bow Wow Wow.
Oh no! Sadly, no. It was just a girl that we knew, but it was really funny. And then we brought all our mates along, so there was like all our mates, so all the judges. We would, I mean.
Oh shit!
Yeah, sorry. I had a two string bass, and we called the Annabelle Club. We were pretty terrible. It was sort of
why two string bass? You didn't tell me that.
Oh, it was because the D and the G were confusing me, so I just left the A and the E on it.
Do you know about Jerry and the Misfits?
Yeah.
He'd have E and A twice, so when he broke one string, he could just move.
Just move it. Yeah,
he used to break the headstocks off too and stuff.
Yeah, big man. I figured it wasn't using them, so we were sort of like punk rock, a little bit grunge, which was definitely of the era. Nirvana were the biggest band in the world at the time, so
yeah. But Chris had a four string bass.
Yeah, he had a four string. He was a much better bass player than me. So he figured that like the two were just confusing the hell out of me. So
you know, he was a boy in Pedro here. He moved,
he
moved up to Aberdeen with Kurt and all that. But he, I think up to 12 years old he lived here. But Croatian guy, you know, there's a community here. Tim, when did you get your own band?
My own band? So, the first thing that I kind of...
Like you're not naming it after the guy's girlfriend, you know, or wannabe girlfriend.
So after that, I did a band called Novastar, which was actually the drummer from Annabelle Club's kind of songs initially. But then I started writing songs once I sort of learned a bit more guitar as well.
Oh, is this what you told me about where you took over the band?
Oh, no, that's a lot later, yeah. Okay. I've actually been writing my book and doing a band archive on Patreon, because I'm not on the old Patreon thing.
There's a weird site called bandtoband.com, and they have all the fucking link-ups of who was in what shit.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I think you could do a really good one of, like, even just the London scene here, the UK scene, like, who sort of... who's been in what band and who's crossed over. I think you might have played with Crumbling Ghost.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Back in London.
Yeah, I remember those cats. I want to play...
So,
I got to
so
play...
Johnny from Crumbling Ghost was in Among the Missing, a band I was in, and, yeah, et cetera, and that. So, yeah, so I think the first thing I kind of did that was really, like, me and... It was like, I was the singer in Novastar, but I took a while to get sort of my foot in the door to put my songs in there. It was probably the next thing I did after that split was, because that was sort of like an indie rock band. It was just kind of like, you know, just standard jangly guitars. Wasn't really what I wanted to do. It was a band called Sheba, which was like, we were a 7-piece band in the end. So it was kind of crazy.
But you were the shot caller, right?
But yeah, I was the bass player, but I was the band leader because everybody looked to me. It was very strange. In that, yeah, we were sort of like somewhere between Godspeed You Black Emperor and Hawkwind, and with a little bit of Spaceman 3 thrown in.
Yeah, probably a little Sonic Youth, because when I think of Black...
Definitely a little bit of Sonic Youth in there, yeah.
Or Mogwai, right? Big instrumental cinematic kind of pieces.
So we had these big long instrumentals. We did have some words in at first, but then they sort of disappeared after a while, and it became all about sort of really just about the music.
Ephraim, with that band.
And it was a lot of fun, that band, and it's a shame it really only lasted like 3 or 4 years.
Okay, I want to play Rust here.
Finally found my eyes.
For Pedro Show, that chunk of music started with Trust from Tim Wholehouse, Transit Drum. After that, I Feel This, Donna Tiger, with Trengados, and La Arena. Donna Tiger, yeah. Recognition from the New Harnessians, and The Ritual of Defeat, plus Dog Plus, and finally Voices from Tim Wholehouse. Now, all the music I'm playing from this edition, Tim, it's from your most current record. And because we got to kind of skip ahead, but you did all these bands that lasted 2 or 3 years, and then about 15 years ago you went solo.
Yeah, so my main sort of band, Among the Missing, sort of fell apart kind of very unceremoniously. I don't appear on the second record. I walked out of the studio, but I'd been doing solo stuff kind of in the background anyway, just really for myself. And yeah, it sort of stemmed from there. And now this new album, which came out only at sort of middle of November this year, Lost, is actually very, very different to everything I've ever done before. It's the first time I've really used electronics and sort of MIDI stuff to make a record. I usually, like, a lot of my stuff is kind of blues or guitar-based stuff that I can play on an acoustic guitar. This record, I have no idea how I'm going to play it live yet. I've found a version, I've made an acoustic version of one of the songs called Twitch, but it's going to be quite interesting to see how I can actually play this one live. If I even will. But yeah, I've been doing 15 years touring around here, there and everywhere. I've been pretty much on the road for 14 of the 15 years I've been solo. I've toured in your country, I think about 8 times, Canada about 3, been to Iceland, Japan, Australia, all around Europe, obviously. So yeah, it's been great, but it was something I never really planned to do.
That's
the
thing.
Be a solo act.
Yeah, but that's the thing about fucking life. It happens, right? Whether you give it permission or not. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. January 6, 2021. Just watch Pedro Show. Hold tight. Oh, yeah. Special guest Tim Wholehouse. Hold tight for hour 3. January 6, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Switch from one to another at any point in time. Sometimes I go up, sometimes goes down. Which you'll see today, pole to pole, fast to slow, up, down, side to side, as it revolves constantly in my head. Who evaluate the situation and compose yourself.
one of them guys that can't do nothing right. It ain't like he don't try. He tries with all his might. But no matter how tantalizing the reward, no matter how precise the plan, well, it always goes barreling south, and the shit doth hit the fan. Bobby heard from Big Lou a shipment coming through. Some drugs, some guns, and maybe a stolen sports car, too. Now, this was out of Bobby's league, but he owed some guy some dough, and they had no sense of humor, and his thumbs was gonna go. Now, when the threat of no thumbs loom large, your man says his sights higher. Bobby borrowed a gun from Big Lou, unbeknownst to Bobby, known to misfire. But it wasn't like he was gonna shoot. He was gonna aim and they was gonna run. See, watching old Sylvester Stallone movies on Netflix was the closest Bobby ever got to a gun. Arrived at the dock. Bobby was there in a mask, scrutinizing two dozen Russians involved in the unloading task. The moon lit the scene well. Feeble, Bobby's voice did yell, "Give up the goods, you freaking Ruskies." And they laughed, "Go to hell." Boris grabbed the gun, and at Bobby he aimed clear. But as predicted, that gun misfired and blew Boris's brains clear off the pier. Heading up the rear, those men Bobby owed money to and feared, with automatic weapons, ending two dozen Russian careers. They confiscated the goods, and they heard Bobby's pleas. To show they were generous, they let him keep his thumbs, but they broke both his knees. So here sits Bobby celebrating his good fortune in a coma. But the loan of that gun from Big Lou has a certain foul aroma. Cause if Bobby had been the one that had fired that gun instead, well, admittedly he'd be here with his knees and his thumbs intact, but indeed no fucking head.
Jump and ride! to live until you're dead. You've got to rock till you see red. Now do you understand? Now do you understand?
I'm the garbage man.
Watch for Pedro. Should we start the third hour off with Tim Holhouse in Polar? Then Crane with Smooth Move. Bobby and the Russians from Hamelon Trial. Fatso Jetson with Garbage, you know, that Cramp song I love. Right? Gotta beat it with a stick. Mm. Sassafras, PP Hop, Finally Fade, Tim Holhouse. So look, solo record. But you're not the only guy on this record.
I know. No, no, yeah. This one was.
Tell me how it was recorded, Tim. Like, where? And yeah, it wasn't a band, right? You just brought people in.
Yeah, so first, I mean, it never was actually initially intended as a record. About 2016, I was touring in Canada, doing it on the Greyhound buses. And Canada, as you probably well know, is very, very...
Yeah, a lot of distance.
Yeah, there's a lot of fuck all, basically. So I had an iPad, and so I would just, like, sit there trying to kill the hours, trying to work out how to make MIDI stuff on the iPad using GarageBand. It's like nothing sort of clever or anything like clever programs, just the free software that came with the iPad. And I just sort of made these little tunes and I was just sort of like, oh yeah, this one sounds pretty cool, this one's rubbish, delete that sort of thing. And then somehow, like, ended up with like 13, I think it was, of like decent enough pieces that I played to a friend who does electronic music, and he was like, you should release this. And I'd been writing lyrics as well about mental health issues. And so the two sort of seemed to pair themselves together really nicely. And so I added some guitars on and then some vocals. But then when I listened to it with just my vocals, I was really unsatisfied with how it sounded. Because it's the first time I'd ever tried to sing like that over that sort of style of music. And I can just about do a tricky style wheeze. So I was like, right, who do I know? And I just sort of asked a few people, asked on the internet as well, and got and because it was for a mental health charity, everybody was like prepared to give their services for free, which was awesome. My friend Barbara Luck, she was incredible, well worth checking out his music. Absolutely wonderful, wonderful human being as well. I believe you know him, Leval.
Absolutely, South London guy.
Yeah, Leval appeared on it, and Leval smokes a lot of weed, bless him, and so he managed to...
It's legal here, Tim.
Fog up my... Yeah, it's not legal over here, but he managed to...
I've been smoking it since I was 12, and I ain't hooked yet.
Yeah, Lee's brilliant. Yeah, he's about the same age. He's like, great guy, and so he came and did some, and then there's some people sent me stuff who... because I started... finishing putting it together. It was one of these things where it was like I started it in 2016 and it'd been sort of like a thing on the back burner every time I came home from tour. Other records overtook it, came out before it or got finished before it. It was one of those things that was really on the back burner, and then I guess when lockdown happened, it kind of pushed it to the front because it was something I could do. I could finish off here at home, especially as at the start of the lockdown, I had very little stuff because I'd actually been recording down in the West Country, the west of England, where my parents live. And because I've been on tour in the States, actually, when this all kicked off, I had to fly back from New York, in fact. I had sort of all my recording gear. I'd been recording somebody down in the west of England, and I'd left it in my car, which I'd left with my dad, because when I'm in the States touring, I lend my car to my dad, because he hasn't got a car.
And that's very kind of you. I want to ask you something. When you were composing on the iPad, were you using the virtual instruments?
Yeah, a lot of the time, and then, like, just...
I got a guy, in fact, Barry Burko. He's been on the show, a cat I met in Tel Aviv. The Stooges played there. Brother Steve did some free music in next door in Jaffa. And Barry's made whole albums on his, not even an iPad, a leash, because on the phone, there's the GarageBand too.
Just yeah, I've got it on my phone as well, yeah.
Just using virtual instruments.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. I love playing around with it and just like, you can manipulate stuff. I mean, I did sound engineering in at university, so it sort of like kind of honed some of my skills from that as well. And I can sit there and work out, well, like, you know, tweak this, move that. Oh, yeah, if I do this and do that, then it also make this sound. And I kind of find it fun. And I actually, a lot of the time, I just make tunes on my phone or on my iPad for fun. And this is kind of how Lost really came about, was because I was just making it for myself. I wasn't planning to release it. I do mainly guitar and either like acoustic guitar or sort of guitar, bass, drums sort of records. I don't do this sort of thing. And then,
well, you said you made a version of Twitch acoustic. Let's listen to that right now.
We're all aware of things we should not say.
extinguish flames, not to keep warm. These bird lyrics won't slapstick, manage rope, distribute with famished. Feed full to mouth, excuse promptly, infinitely, apparently visible. My card is parked at discarded parklets, a plume soon, soon. Wash you with etiquette, woke, live since lately, and it won't matter when it's done. Public process and ultimate, it looks inevitable, produces our best, not first. Pork chop lord, pork chop lord, got molly by the load, got holly in my mouth, got holly in my room. Fox told snap, pipe is round, we run out of weight for batting. In a day, duty related, what makes it flippant? I'm flipping tricks, not for favour, but in the mix. Victim bird in hand, superseded, depleted, got a wild card. Fitchment of our rights, sometimes in our life. Apparently we got cold, it's dark under the dark light. I really wanted to let you know it's okay, but we well aware of things we should not say. We all aware of things we should not say. I really wanted to let you know it's okay. We all aware of things we should not say. We all aware of things we should not say.
black, I should be 6 feet underground.
I should be underground.
Yeah, I was lost. Yeah, I was lost.
I was lost.
for Pedro Show, the last music for this edition. Tim Holhouse. Now, he was going to run and get the fucking acoustic guitar, but we played the version off the Lost album here. So, when gigs come back, you're going to have this record, have versions that you'll play in front of people. We had Rapin' with the...
Adjask.
Yeah, because I played Ova Daigo last show. And this is like an alter ego of yourself, right?
Yes, this is, and I heard actually where you said, it's in Norwegian, but I don't think it's Norwegian. I'm definitely not Norwegian, but it's actually in Sami.
Sami, Finland, yeah. Or it's older than that stuff, right? It's the ancient peoples from that north part.
Yeah, the only true indigenous people of Europe. They live in the Arctic Circle, so it's sort of northern Finland, northern Norway, northern Sweden.
Right.
My partner's actually from like Porvo down near Helsinki, but,
Pori? Is it called Pori?
Pori, no, it's, Porvo.
Okay, because Pori, I was almost killed by a fucking storm that came out of the sky at a Stooges gig in like 10 seconds and blew the stage down.
My Pori story is actually played there on New Year's Eve one year. It was a crazy fun night and ended up drinking with the bass player from the band Circle.
Oh, wow.
And I love that band so much. So
is it Tool? That's the Tool guys?
Circle, not Perfect Circle, Circle, as in Finnish band Circle. If you don't know them, check them out. They're incredible.
Thanks. I will turn up. I got to say the last song that you played was the title song, Lost.
Yes.
Now, and you say it's related to mental issues. And because I think some people think being a little insane is like happy time, but it's actually not, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's a very vital, especially now, it's very vitally important, really. But I suffer from bipolar, so I'm like... I'm either like manic and running around like a lunatic, or I'm just like, I can't get out of bed. And it is something I think that people need to talk about. And so with this album, I know some people who run mental health charities, my friends Brain Aid in Athens, Georgia, and Imp in Medway in Kent, here in the UK. And so I thought, well, this life of a roller coaster has been pretty good to me. You know, I've been up and down, but it felt like it was a good way to give back. So, myself and the record label actually put all the money into the pressing of the CD ourselves, and every last penny that anybody spends on buying the record goes to two very, very deserving mental health charities. So that was a sort of nice way to release this record, I think.
Beautiful, Tim. I think it's really bitching and open-hearted. Would you include autism with something like this?
I ask
because when D Boom, we had this school that helped autism people, and D Boom would volunteer time and play acoustic guitar, and the kids that were had a wall. The music could get through in a way.
In fact, the song Autistic is about autism. Again, I've got a friend who's autistic who sort of wrote that one about. So, it's incredible sort of like now, as time goes on, people are sort of learning about this stuff and it's becoming more common knowledge. But I can imagine back when D Boom was doing it, it was like that. People were, put them in the corner. So that is really great to hear.
The idea of music as a therapy. You know, Brother Sam from the Go Team, we made a project, and he was living in Brighton at the time, and he still works there. And he works at a pad. They use music to help people with these challenges.
Yeah, I played a show in France in a psychiatric hospital. Me and a friend of mine, we did a noise music set, I guess. And the guy who's doing like noise therapy for these people with sort of severe learning difficulties. And it was really cool. It was like a music therapy thing. And they like, when they came in, they were like climbing the walls. But by the time we'd finished sort of making our racket, they were all very calm. And it was, they were like thanking us and saying how nice it was and stuff.
Oh, beautiful, Tim. Where can people find you on the internet?
I guess the easiest place is timholehouse.com.
Okay.
So that's
you should spell that for people. Tim, please spell that. I didn't mean to talk over you there, but spell it for people.
So it's Tim, T-I-M, obviously, and then Whole House, H-O-L-E-H-O-U-S-E, and then it's .com. So it's Tim Whole House, all one word.
That's great. That's great. And what's your – are you got plans to record new stuff or is stuff on the burner right now?
I do, and I have – I don't know whether I'm allowed to say, because it's supposed to be, it's all very secret what,
okay,
what I'm
doing.
Okay,
that's all right. Just as long as I know you got something coming, because when it comes.
But I've got somebody that you'd probably know if, in fact, I'm pretty sure you might know at least one or two of the people that are going to be on the record.
Okay. Well, what I'm saying is, when it comes out, will you come back on the show and we can talk about it?
Oh, absolutely, absolutely, yeah. I'm,
you don't have to give away any secrets. You don't have to fucking do treason on anything, okay? Okay?
But yeah.
No, Mr. Orson Welles said, there, no wine before it's time.
It will get done when it gets done sort of thing, so.
Yeah, I had Gareth Sager on. He was talking, he knows old people who lived during the Blitz.
Mm.
Talk about inconvenient.
Yeah, so.
We got to keep it in perspective, really. Right? Yeah. Tim, a big honor. Like I said, please come on the show when you get this new thing done.
Yeah.
It's been the January 6, 2021 edition of Wap Pedro, so keep your powder dry.